We want to have that intimate relationship. We don't want to go through the motions, but we want to experience the presence of God. His presence is everything to this church. I'm not going to speak for anyone else. I'm speaking about us. His presence is everything. When I went to a seminary, I remember taking a course on worship. And this was the assignment. Create the perfect worship service based on a bulletin order. That's what was the assignment. Create the perfect worship service based on a bulletin order. How the flow in the bulletin. You know, 20 years later now, I look back at that and I go, wow, that has nothing to do with worship. That has everything to do with being legalistic and saying we've got to go through an order because there's no intimacy in there. There's no room for intimacy if that's what you are doing. We want to get to the heart of God. This key value of worship, why is it a value to us? BCF, Bayshore Christian Fellowship, will be a community that has evidenced the presence of God and supernatural power at work in the lives of its members. We want to experience His presence and be touched in His supernatural and experience that in our lives. We are called to be passionate worshipers of Jesus, extravagant worshipers of Jesus. This is our heart's desire. For those that don't know, one of the things that was prophesied over this church by many people who don't have any contact with each other necessarily in independent times was that this church is going to grow because the presence of God is here. His presence in worship will be the key draw that will pull people. And you have no idea how many people have walked in that door and have said, especially those who don't have a strong walk with the Lord, who said, feel something different here, but we don't get it. The presence of God. And this is what we need to press into. If His presence is not here, we're doing something wrong. Again, I'm talking about our church, not anyone else's church. Our vision and as a church, if God does not show up, we're doing something wrong. Because when He shows up, we are touched by Him. Worship is defined in the dictionary as reverent honor and homage paid to God or a sacred personage. It is formal or ceremonial rendering of that honor. It's adoring reverence. The object of adoring reverence or regard, to render religious reverence and homage, to feel an adoring reverence or regard. It kind of repeats itself a few times. Worship, in its origin, means literally the condition of being worthy, honor, and renown. It's the object that we worship is the condition of being worthy or being worthy of our honor and our renown, our heart. In other words, there's a reason about God that we worship. There's a reason why we adore Him. And we'll get into some of those things in a little bit. But the very heart of it is, it's love. It's love. It goes back to what we talked about yesterday, last week. It's love. Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. While we were yet sinners, He loved us. That we can receive that love and love Him back. That's at the heart of everything. Now let's, before we get into what worship is, in terms of what our value of it is, means, what is it not? Worship is not just something you do, but it is a lifestyle that we lead. Our prayer is what takes place in Sunday morning services. Is not left in Sunday morning services. That you take that heart, that intimate experience, and you carry it over. Imagine meeting somebody for the first time at a party or some kind of situation. And you connect and you begin to develop an intimate relationship with them. You're not going to forget about them as soon as you leave. You're going to get their phone number, their email address, Facebook. You're going to communicate. You want to continue engaging in that relationship and build that intimate relationship even further with them. That's what worship is with God. It is not we just do it and we get done with it. But it carries over. It's all about our relationship with Him. Being a worshiper is not what you do, but who you are. And we are called to worship. It's who you are. It's your lifestyle. It's the choice I make in my lifestyle. The life that I live, I'm committed to worshiping God. What it is also not, worship is not limited to music and singing. Okay? It's not. That's just a musical element of worship. Worship is the intimate experience, that intimate, adoring relationship of one whom we revere. We have reverence to. We are in awe of. We love. We highly esteem, we lift up. And how awesome is it, the simple fact that we are able to have that intimate relationship with God, who is as high and highly esteemed as you can possibly be. Yet, He wants to know me deeply and wants me to know Him deeply. He wants to have that intimate relationship. So what are a couple of just quick examples of how to live a lifestyle of worship or committing to a lifestyle of worship? Well, one of the things we've been encouraging you, the body, especially though our prayer team and our worship team, you don't show up to Sunday morning to turn yourself on and worship. The lifestyle that you live between Monday through Saturday sets up what we do Sunday morning or what we do at home group Wednesday night or Thursday afternoon or when you meet up with somebody for coffee and prayer. It sets it up. You are encouraged to just seek Him daily, to come already stirred. You know, one of the cool things, and those of you who've ever driven a diesel engine, but now I'm with this truck that I have, one of the things I noticed when I turn it on a cold morning, it's loud at first. But then after about 5-10 minutes of revving it up, it's smooth. It's smooth. And then it just glides on the highway. Well, if you're coming to church, haven't done what needed to be done Monday through Saturday, and it's going to take you 10, 15 minutes to get revved up till you're kind of connected, something is wrong. You're missing out on so much of what God could have already spoken to you about, already done with you. If you show up to minister that way, you've already been out of tune with God. You're not going to be able to turn it on that quickly, and opportunities are lost. Opportunities are lost. Paul writes, New Testament says, pray without ceasing. In other words, stay intimately connected with God in worship. Stay tuned in to what the Holy Spirit is doing in that state of readiness. You never know who you're going to run into at the supermarket or show up at your house or at work. It's a lifestyle that we choose to live where we stay intimately connected with the heart of God. And we want the core value of this worship. And now I'm going to kind of fine-tune it to more of praise and worship as we do it here and prayer here. We want that to be the core of everything we do, family and worship. And next week we're going to talk about study. But this is one of the key cores, everything we do. If we get together as a body in a formal setting or non-formal setting, we want to worship. We don't want to do anything and exclude the Holy Spirit. We don't want to do anything and exclude Jesus, the Son. We don't want to do anything and exclude the heart and will of the Father. We want to stay tuned into Him, everything we do. Whether that's in the form of picking up guitars or whatever and singing, or singing a cappella, or just praying together, or just, Holy Spirit, come. You know, as we sit down for coffee, Holy Spirit, direct our conversation. Let you be the third person or fourth person sitting in this empty chair here, right next to us. We want to worship you. Let it be the core of everything we are. Let it be what everything flows out from of us. So what are the characteristics of worship? Some of them. Pick that four of them that we're going to talk about today. Worship is an expression of the heart, number one. It's an expression of my love to Jesus. It's simply that. It's the internal expression of my love for Him. Number two, worship is also an external verbal expression of adoration. It's a verbal expression of adoration. Remember when Jesus entered Jerusalem on the donkey? Hosanna! That adoration for Him. Even though they weren't fully aware who He really was, they were still exalting Him and adoring Him. And we talked about this a little bit in the forms of praise, but in the Bible. But it includes shouting. It includes singing, whether it's individually or as a corporate setting. It includes being clamorously foolish, is one of the Jewish words. Clamorously foolish. The shout of hallelujah, praise the Lord, that uninhibited praise. It's a verbal expression. I mean, it's great to do things for the one you love. But the one you love still needs to hear, I love you, every now and then. They still need to hear, I appreciate you. I honor you. I bless you. I adore you. They still need to hear those words. And God's heart desires that too, because it's my expression. Third characteristic, worship is also the physical presentation of my body. It's how my body is postured. What do I mean by that? Some of the biblical definitions of that physical posture of worship is extended hands. And we talked about these things in the past. Just raising our hands to the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord. I place myself in your hand. Then there's also the extension of the right hand. And this was the one that blew me away when I found out what it means. When talk about extending the right hand, it's also in reference to God extending His right hand back. And what that means is God saying, I am giving you all of me with the right hand. When I extend my right hand to you, I am giving you all of me. So when I extend my right hand to Him, I'm saying, Lord, I give you all of me. I give myself to you. Physical expression or posture, clapping, kneeling. David danced before the Lord. These are expressions of our body posture. There is bowing down. And this was more prominent in the New Testament, where the bowing down is a symbol of kissing the feet. It's in referencing to prostrating yourself to such a point where you're kissing the feet of Jesus in worship. For some, I can already see some of us are going, I can't do that. This floor is dirty. You know what? When you are worshiping, it doesn't matter how bad the carpet smells or how dirty the floor is. You're submitting your heart to God. You're giving it all to God. You're saying, Lord, I'm intimate with you. When you walk in stinky and smelly from a hard day at work, your spouse is still going to give you a kiss or a hug, but then she'll tell you to, or he'll tell you, go take a quick shower, but they're still going to give you a kiss. They're still going to welcome you. Well, you know what? Same thing with the Lord. It's that. There's also, you know, with the musical instrument element of it, just submitting your body by pouring it out. The fourth characteristic is worship is also a committed dedicated lifestyle to the principle and character qualities of who we are worshiping. I'm worshiping you because I want to be like you. I want what you have. I mean, think about it. Every teenager, every kid that idolizes a musician, idolizes an actor or an actress or some figure, there's somewhere in there at the core a desire to be like them, to be a part of who they are. Well, as we worship God, you know what he's doing? He's forming his image in us. He's molding his character in me. My thoughts are becoming better lined up with his thoughts. How I see myself is no longer in the mirror, but his eyes. How I feel about myself is no longer what I think, but more like what he knows and what he thinks. I am lining myself up with this. It's translated in my way of life. Worship unites me with God in this way. So worship is really the foundation of everything we do in this church. We are and will always be, as long as I am here and my wife is here and the current leadership is leading, a worshiping church. And we will encourage everyone to worship because this is the intimacy that the Lord requires for us. So why do we worship? If you don't have enough reasons, I'm going to give you four reasons. Number one, and this is the key, worship manifests his presence. He shows up when his children worship. Exodus 33:15. Then he said, this is Moses telling God, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up there. We're not going to go if your presence isn't leading us, if you're not there. His presence is everything. It is everything that in what we do. Because we're not going to hear him, be touched by him, feel him, know him if he's not there. His presence, if he's not going there, I don't want to go. Why? Because I am chasing after God. We are a church that is chasing after God. We're pressing into his presence. And if we sing a couple of songs or do a couple of things and he still hasn't shown up, then we need to figure out why. Look at ourselves and say, Lord, we need to stop. Say, Holy Spirit, show us. Is there sin we need to confess? Is there a resistance? What it is? Is there a spirit that's attacking us right now, keeping us from pressing in? Because if there is, we're coming against it in the name of Jesus right now. And then we're going to press in some more. Because we want to free. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. We get into his presence with this worship. Psalm 22:3, yet you are holy and you are enthroned upon the praises of Israel. We're his adopted sons and daughters. You are holy and you are enthroned on the praises of your adopted sons and daughters. We've been saying that a lot lately. We want you to be king, Lord, of our enthroned on our praises. You are what we are focused on. If you go meet the president, whoever is president, you're not going to be sitting there playing on your phone while you're talking to the president. Okay? He has your full attention. When we are intimate with Jesus, he has our full attention. He is enthroned on our praises. He is Lord at that moment. And hopefully it goes beyond that moment in the lifestyle we live. Acts 16:25 through 26. See, God ministers to us in worship in his presence. He ministers to us. This is Paul and Silas while they were in prison. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were open and everyone's chain was loosed. God was present. His presence showed up while they were worshiping in the form of an earthquake and shook everything. And what did he do? He did what his word says about his character. He sets the prisoners free. He frees them. They were free actually before those chains were ever on them. And while those chains were on them, why? Because they still were able to worship instead of whine. That's right. They still were able to praise instead of complain and go, God, why are you doing this to me? They praised. His presence showed up and they were totally free. Look at Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Spirit fell. Most of us are very familiar with that. His presence showed up in the form of tongues of fire on every one of those 120 people who were in one accord. So the thought that I have that I want you to think about, have you been touched by His presence in worship? Have you been touched one way or another? We've had times when like a wind just felt over someone's face. Other times people have literally felt someone's hand touching them on their shoulder or on their head, or just the words of God spoken directly into their heart or heard His voice. Have you been touched by His presence? If not, we're going to give you that opportunity later today and we go back into worship. And I encourage you to press into Him. And if you're struggling, find somebody who you can tell the glory of God is on and they're pressing in, and stand with them and worship with them next to Him. Get into His presence. Second reason why we worship is worship reveals His purpose. See, His presence is not all. His presence reveals His purpose. Remember Isaiah 6? In Isaiah 6, when Isaiah had that vision and he was in God's throne room, he was in God's presence, but he heard God's purpose. He saw what was going on, and he heard God's voice. Look what's going on earth. Whom can I send? My purpose was to send somebody, and I'm looking for somebody to send. And Isaiah says, oh, I know your purpose now, so here I am. I'm ready to do your purpose. I'm ready to do your will. Worship, we get into His presence for His purpose. By staying connected in communion with the Holy Spirit, we will know His purpose any given time. By staying in that communion. See, I want to go back to Acts. Paul and Silas again. See, they were worshiping. His presence showed up, set them free, but that wasn't the completeness of His purpose. There was more to come. In Acts chapter 16, now 27 to 34, and the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself, because he would have been killed anyway if they escaped. But Paul called out with a loud voice, saying, don't do yourself any harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, fell down, trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? You don't think God purposed for that man and his family to be saved? So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved and your household will be saved. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him. And all who were in his house, wife, daughter, sons, servants, anyone, mama, daddy, everybody, grandma, grandpa, auntie, uncle, were saved because God showed up, because instead of complaining, two people worshiped and His presence showed up. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to them and all who were in the house, and they took them that same hour of the night and washed their stripes and ministered, and he and all his family were baptized. Now when they had brought them into his house, he set food before them and so forth. It was reciprocated. Worship saved a family to generations to come. His presence came with His purpose. Let's go back to Exodus again with Moses when he told God, if your presence is not there, we're not going. Verse 14 and 16 of chapter 33. And he said, this is God said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. I will give you peace. I will give you a calm spirit as you do what you need to do. Then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not lead us up from here. For how then can it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not by your going with us so that we, I and your people, may be distinguished from all the other peoples who are upon the face of the earth? Lord, make us different. Let people see why we are Christians. Why, Lord God, we believe what we believe. Go with us, Lord. Let your presence go before us, and that we can find favor at my workplace, that there would be something so different about me, not because I'm special, but because you are in me. I worship you, therefore I am in tune with you. I'm communicating with you. I'm in the spirit and state of communion with you. Therefore, your presence is on me. Your glory is on me. Not only do I have favor with them because you've gone before me because I've put you first, but also they see you in me and want it. Let you make me different. The biggest obstacle to evangelism in our modern generation is we have a bunch of people who call themselves Christians but do not look anything Christ-like. Not the way they speak, not the way they live their life, not the way they think, not the way they act, not they have their attitude. And you know what? When you go through difficult times, that reveals your character. And I'm not saying we're perfect. I'm far from that. But people watch. People notice. Lord, as I worship you, let your glory reign in me. Let me not walk in fear, but in peace. Even the peace that when I do make a mistake, I'm in tune with you to know it my own, on my, by myself. I don't need somebody to tell me I was wrong, because your spirit is telling me already. And I get it right with you right away, and we continue on our journey because we are in tune with you. See, there is no power or authority without the presence of God. I have no power or authority without his presence. See, Jesus, remember, he gave his disciples, he imparted on us his spirit, the Holy Spirit, the same spirit that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. And when his presence is alive and active in me, therefore I am now walking in his authority and in his power. And I am moving in those things. Why? Because he is in me. And I maintain a heart of worship with him. I am intimate. I have intimate knowledge of the things of him. This is Zechariah, Luke chapter 1. Ministering to the Lord and really worshiping in his presence in the Holy of Holies. So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at that hour. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And then Zechariah saw him, and he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer is heard, and you and your wife will bear you a son, and will call him John. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He'll also be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." God showed up while Zechariah was worshiping. And look what God revealed. He showed up and told him what his son is going to accomplish. Why? Because this man was worshiping. A revelation of what was to come was revealed. His purpose, God's purpose, was revealed. God speaks to us in worship, people. If you want to hear the heartbeat of God, the voice of God, you want to know him more intimately, grow in your passion and desire to worship him. Third reason why is worship gets us where we need to be. Worship gets us where we need to be. What do I mean by that? It brings me to the place where I need to be in order to receive from God, to hear from God, away from the chaos and the clutter of the world. Worship tunes me into Him and tunes out everything else. It unites me with Him and cuts off my ties to everything else that could be distractions. I abandon myself and my rights to me in worship. What does that mean? It means I lay down my pride. Lord, I don't care who I think I am. I'm broken before You right now because You are God and I'm not. And not just You are God, You're my dad. And I'm Your son or I'm Your daughter. And I love You, Dad. I love You, Dad. And I want to know You more. I want to be close to You. I'm a 46-year-old man, but when I walk in my dad's house, I'm hugging and kissing my dad, putting my arm around him, and I respect him as my dad, and I adore him as my dad. Doesn't matter how old or young you are. Worship gets us in the presence of God in His house to adore Him. I don't care how much money I could make or what my label or title could be, CEO of the biggest, richest company in the world. When I walk in my Father's house, I'm still His son. And I love Him as my dad. No matter who I am, when I walk and get into the presence of God, doesn't matter what my title is or checkbook says, I love my daddy in heaven with all my heart. Worship also puts me in the position to hear God and be heard by God, cutting off the sin that is between us. I basically get out of my own way when I worship. Psalm 51, 15 through 17. Oh, Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare Your praise, for You do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and contrite heart, God, You will not despise. I'm giving You all of me. Here's my right hand, Lord. I'm pouring it out before You. I'm getting in Your presence for Your purpose. 2 Samuel 6, 21, 22. So David said to Michal, this is his wife, Michal, and it was before the Lord who chose me above your father, the King Saul at that time, and above all his house, He appointed me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will celebrate before the Lord, and I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom You have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. What is he saying? This is the future king of Israel. This is the one God said, You are of my own heart. You have my heart in you, after my own heart. You are esteemed. And what does he say? Listen, before the Lord, I don't want to be this indistinguishable from the maids, because I'm going to humble myself to that place. In some of the versions of your Bible, instead of more lightly esteemed, it says, I will be more undignified than this. I'll take my crown off, and we know David has brought up in prayer this morning, dance before the Lord naked, because he was in worship and he didn't care what anybody said or thought. I will be more undignified than this. I don't care, you know, what the guy on the left or the guy on the right or the girl on my left or the girl on my right thinks of me. It's not about me and them. It's about me and him. And maybe me and him will affect them, and then it can be us and him. I will be more undignified. The Lord spoke to me heavily about that about a year and a half ago, is when he really, really touched me. I had no problem raising my hands. I had no problem shouting praise and saying amen and giving God glory. but I'd never fell on my face before God before. I never got on my knees before God because I had the same thoughts. The rug smells. It's uncomfortable. What will other people think? I never would sway and jump around. But you know what? Lord showed me how much he loved me. And I want my love to reach out and touch his heart. I want to get to that point where I can say, just like David, that I am so sold out to God that I will be even more undignified than this. Because I'm ready to humble myself to that extent, not caring about my pride or what anyone else thinks. So am I willing, the thought that I want to leave with you with this part, are you willing and am I willing to put myself in that place where I really don't care what others may think of me? Because I will be even more undignified than this before the Lord. I don't want people to distinguish me between what I do versus the person next to me who's kneeling at the altar, or the person crying, or the whatever it might be. I'm sold out. Are we ready to do that? And the last reason why, and I'll be brief with this, and we're going to get right into worship again. So if the worship team want to make their way back up slowly and get themselves ready. Worship sanctifies, listen to me here, sanctifies the ground for us. What does that mean? What does that mean? Well, when I worship, his presence show up, right? Who is he? Exodus 3, 4, and 5. When the Lord saw that Moses had turned back to kind of go away, God called him from the midst of the fiery bush, from the bush, and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not come near, but remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." 1 Peter 1:16 says, "Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy." If I am worshiping God, I want you to follow my line of thought here. If I am worshiping God, and God's presence is showing up, and if he is holy, and if he has clothed me with his holiness, with his robe of righteousness, and his cloak of salvation, where he is becomes holy ground. It's a song we used to sing. So he sanctifies the ground and clothes me in his righteousness. So if I am worshiping him and he's here and he's holy and he's telling us to be holy as he is, then where I'm worshiping becomes holy. Think about that. Think about that in the terms of changing the atmosphere of wherever I am. You walk in a room and you feel a wicked spirit, or you feel something's wrong, or there's dissension, or there's anger. You know what you do? You start worshiping. So the Holy Spirit shows up. God shows up, and the ground becomes sanctified and lined up with the heart of heaven. If I'm living in fear, if I'm anxious, and this is a lesson I'm still learning, so I'm not preaching at you. I'm sharing with you what I'm learning. If I'm dealing with nervousness, anxiety, external pressure, I start worshiping the ground that I'm standing on, that this is happening to, becomes sacred, holy ground when his presence shows up and as he's ministering to me and through me. See, 2 Corinthians 5:28 says, "Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. Wherever I go, I represent him. And when I bring him with me, that's even more." And that ground becomes holy because he is there. So if I'm having a hard time at work, I need to start worshiping. Whether it's in prayer, remember, it's that intimate communion, that relationship, that heart of love, expression in any and every way possible. It'll sanctify that ground. This building is not sanctified because it's called a church. This building, let me tell you, I've been in many church buildings, and many church buildings have different people and different activities, and you can walk in and know how unsanctified it was. But I don't care how unsanctified this building, for example, could be. We could have a cult that had come in and put a curse on this ground. But when his people show up and his people reclaim the ground for the kingdom of God, like we are trying to reclaim this land, this Bayshore area, for the kingdom of God, when we start praying in one accord and worshiping in one accord, and the Holy Spirit shows up and the presence of God shows up, I don't care what's been done before that moment, this ground is now holy because God has taken it back. So take back your ground. Take back your home. If things are going on in your home that are not sanctified through a child or other family member, get into that room. Get into that home, anoint that home, and start worshiping. Amen. Worshiping, sanctify it. Because when the presence of God shows up, his purpose is revealed, his will is done, we're where we need to be, and he is there to make things line up with the heart of heaven. This is why worship is the most important, for lack of a better word, activity we can do as a church, as a body, and as individuals. We worship him so he gets us where we need to be and lined up with what God wants to do. So I want you to stand with me right now. We're going to get back into worship. You're going to be free to worship. You're not stuck where you are. You are free to move about. And you're free to just get into his presence and let him speak to you. Let him move in you. Let him touch you. And if you're struggling with that, go stand next to somebody. Go ask somebody, hey, can you pray with me? Can you help me worship? Worship with me. If you're feeling like this right now and you feel yourself tightening up, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Unless you're cold and I just turn on the heat. That is a lie from the devil telling you you can't, to restrict your heart from exploding before God. So let that release come forth. And if you start feeling that way, know that's what you need to do, is the exact opposite of that. If you find your thoughts wandering a different way, you know what you need to do. Get him back on the things of God. So Holy Spirit, we invite you right now. We invite you to come right now. As you've been stirring, Holy Spirit, in us, in all the things that you've been doing so far, we're asking for the more right now. We're asking for the more, Holy Spirit. We're asking for the more, Holy Spirit, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.